I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio. Man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What? New thing, Jim. A television.
Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed for Satan.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kinds of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Friday night at the movies. Yes, who cares what picture we see? I don't care. I do want to see a movie, though. I haven't seen a movie in a while. And the last movie I saw, Blue. And I would like to see something decent for a change. And there's only one thing to do in a situation like this. When you don't know what's playing, and you don't have a newspaper, well, dial 777-FILM. That's my advice. So perhaps we ought to do that. Let me see if I can get this phone working. Oh, my topic for this evening was to be sleep disorders, if you recall. But you know what the problem is that I didn't get any tape of myself sleeping. And that show, Sleep Disorders, will not work without tape of me sleeping. You must hear it for yourself and judge. And if I try to do it without the tape, it'll be only half a show. Probably even less than that, maybe one quarter. Oh, this is Aerial View on WFMU Uppsala College. And the phone number here, as usual, 201-678-7743. Let's call 777-FILM. And see what's in the area. I'm sorry about the noise.
Hello and welcome to Movie Phone, brought to you by Hot 97 and New York Magazine.
On May 14th, the play that won the Pulitzer.
They always do this. They always have a little advertisement first.
Become the motion picture that will win your heart. Academy Award winner Richard Dreyfuss, Academy Award winner Mercedes Rule, in Neil Simon's Lost in Yonkers. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
At theaters Friday, May 14th.
If you'd like to see an adolescent comedy, press 1. If you'd like to see a syrupy romantic comedy, press 2. If you'd like to see an action thriller where lots of people die, press 3. If you'd like to see a moronic, insipid remake, press 4. If you'd like to see a piece of garbage about people from different worlds trying to live together, press 5.
Well, what is it you want to see now? This is where I always have a hard time. I cannot make up my mind.
What's playing at a particular theater? Press 3 to purchase.
Well, the hell with it. Okay, I don't want to see a movie. Forget that. Matter of fact, I don't know what to do with myself anymore, and I think that's what this program is really about. I am feeling pulled in 1,000 different directions at once these days, and confused about life, and I guess maybe, like, you know, seeking a direction. And I'm looking for advice, and as always, when I'm looking for advice, I like to sample our audiences, and I guess that's why I need you today. Yes, that's right, you heard me, I need you. Is that so bad? If you can call here, the number is 201-678-7743. And this is Aerial View.
It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma. It's a mystery. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma. It's a mystery. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma. It's a mystery. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma. It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Welcome to the air.
So this is what you do. You got to stop drinking coffee.
You know, I think you're probably right about the stop drinking coffee.
No, check me out, because I was doing it. Stop drinking coffee. Start reading Jung.
Should I stop drinking caffeine of any kind?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Definitely. Switch to, like, Snapple or something. You know.
Start reading Jung?
Yeah, Jung.
Carl Jung?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, the other thing to do is, which I've been doing, is I've been really switching, like, the kind of music I've been listening to.
Okay, to what?
Well, you know, I listen a lot to FMU and stuff, but I've been listening to, like, you know, the classical station, and then to the, I don't know, you know, Butthole Surfers, things like that.
Yeah, I saw the new video. That was very nice.
All of a sudden, they're big time. I remember, like, when years ago when their ads were running in The Voice, they would, like, black out the, they had this one ad with a weed whacker.
Yeah.
I remember that, and then they, like, blacked it out and stuff.
Too bad, eh?
Yeah.
All right, thanks for calling with that advice.
Dude,
welcome to the air.
Hi.
Yeah.
Are you looking, did you say you were looking for a change in direction, some advice, some, you know, possibly a life change for you? Or?
It could well be.
What's
so funny about that? I mean, why does that amuse you?
I guess it's just your natural charm, Chris.
Oh, okay.
I would suggest trying, looking into ontology.
Ontology?
Yeah, the...
Is that the theory of onto, or things
well,
on...
Well, you know, the study of being.
Of what?
The study of being a human being.
Oh, know? I thought you said bees.
No, being.
Okay.
You know, ontology is like, the part of metaphysics that is, like, studies being. And, It's interesting. I've been working on that recently. Have you ever heard of the Forum?
The Forum is a Greek diner on Route 46. And yes, I have.
It probably is too. But I was thinking of something else.
What were you thinking of?
Okay. Remember Werner Erhard?
Yes.
Mr. Est.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Forum is a branch off of that, but it.
Oh
is,
no.
It doesn't have anything to do with him. It basically is the study of ontology.
Okay.
And remember, do you know Richard Foreman, the playwright?
I think I've heard of him, yeah.
I guess he, you know, he's down in the village, and he does the, like, one or two plays
right.
a
yes,
year.
Oh, yes, yes,
sometimes
okay.
you give out tickets to him and stuff.
Okay.
But he's great. He I think he calls his theater the Ontological
right, yes,
Workshop
yes.
Theater.
Okay. I get
and
you.
It's great stuff. I mean, it's like some of the best stuff.
So what's your point here?
Well, it helps you when you study, when you do this stuff, when you look into ontology and what it means to be a human being, it's easier to change directions, move forward, move backwards, wherever you want
to
go.
I have to be honest with you. For the first time in many years, I am sort of, if not satisfied with my life, I feel that it's going pretty good.
Well, that's
and,
good. That's
and that's
excellent.
Good, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Right? Okay, so I have that happening.
Yes.
But the thing that I guess is kind of worrying me is, you know, I feel like there's some part of it that I'm not understanding or I'm missing entirely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And are we talking about being human? Is that what I'm missing and not understanding?
No. Just for okay, your life is going in
do
a good
feel,
direction.
Do you feel connected to the generations?
No, not necessarily. I'm much more connected to an older generation for myself.
Uh-huh.
I feel much more connected to like.
Well, that's what I mean.
30-year-olds and 40-year-olds.
When I say connected to the generations, I mean connected to time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Hang on a minute. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah.
You're looking for a life directional change?
I may be. I don't know. I may just be looking for a new directional.
You know what I'm thinking? Is voyeurism is a way to take up lots of spare time. It's cheaper than movies.
Yeah. Uh huh.
And it's so satisfying.
You know, it used to be that when I was growing up in Lindenhurst, Long Island,
yes,
home of Lindenhurst High School,
yes,
and you know that because when you drive into town, they have a big sign that says,
right.
"Welcome to Lindenhurst, home of Lindenhurst High School."
Right.
So they have to point that out to you. But when I was growing up there, next door to me, there were what?
There's someone at my door. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Can I get it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I'll hang up.
See, now he understands what it is to be because he simply, forget the radio, answer the door. It's more important.
Yes, he's in the moment, we say.
Right.
We call that being in the moment.
We're talking past now, present now, future now, you see.
Oh, wow. Future That's, now. Excellent MC5 song, by the way.
There you go. I'm going to see The Legend of Serum Fortress tonight, Parajanov's film.
You totally lost me on that one. I'm way over my head.
I also recommend if you're looking for a movie that you that might change you or move you through, help you look at the world in a different light, maybe. And,
yeah.
Always look for Tarkovsky films.
Tarkovsky.
Tarkovsky.
You know what really moved me and made me look at life in a different way. Speaking
what?
Of films, was and this was many going back many years, but Wings of Desire.
Yeah.
Wings of Desire was one of those movies that made me really. At least for the while afterwards,
uh-huh.
I basked in the glow of knowing what it was like to be alive.
Right.
You know? And I guess that's ontological, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say. I think Wings of Desire, it has an ontological edge to it.
Really? Now, what is the ontological part of that film? What is the...
now you're testing the limits of my intelligence. my being, so to speak. Well, some of the things that comes back to me are the fact that his suit of armor comes down from the sky.
Yes.
When he's transformed because of what he thinks he wants to be a human being on the earth, so to speak, rather than the spirit, the angel, or whatever.
Right.
That part was interesting because at some level it was greatly satisfying, but at another level he was completely out of his. What he knew, so everything was totally fresh, first time, new.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool because, again, that's sort of like he was experiencing everything was like present now,
right?
Past now, future
right,
now.
Right,
I mean, it was
right,
like everything
right.
clicking, right, like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Like romance, you know, he's looking for that woman. That woman was his like goal.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess that sort of was he was living every moment as if it was his. His last or the something was just...
What a way to live, eh? Let me give out the phone number here again. It's 201-678-7743, and let me finish telling you about my voyeuristic phase.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I grew up next door to the house wherein lived a blonde woman, a female, of about my age. We went to high school, and we went to school together. Elementary school and then high school, and we were the same age. And she was, you know, very attractive. And it used to be that on a nice spring day or summer day like this, that she would lie in the backyard on a chaise lounge.
Oh, Jesus.
And sunbathe.
I've had that same experience.
Have you?
Yes.
And
lived in the third floor, so I had a bird's eye view.
And if you remember, I mean, this is going back 12 years,
yeah.
But those really skimpy bikinis were in.
Yeah.
You know, and she would wear this really skimpy bikini and sunbathe in the backyard.
You mean the dental floss?
Yeah, like really skimpy. And she would slather suntan lotion on herself. I wrote about this as part of a story about cats, because she had a cat, and what would always ruin the moment for me, you know, while I was watching her and fantasizing various things, was that her cat would stray into the picture.
Oh.
And would jump up on the chaise lounge, and it would break the mood entirely.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't have erotic fantasies about some woman when her cat is milling around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It brings the whole thing back to reality.
Yeah. So. Animals always sort of mess the whole thing up.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. We got a call here. Hello. Welcome to the air.
Hello, Chris. That was I was on the phone, and then I had to answer the door, and then.
And you're back now.
I called back because I felt that we didn't finish our conversation.
You know, neither did I.
That's very present of you.
Okay, so what is it you would like to say?
Well, you were talking about where you were from in New Jersey or something, or Long Island. I'm sorry, and then the door knocked. So. I was about to tell you about voyeurism and how this is like a wonderful way to spend time and can
spend quality time with yourself. Yes. Okay. What were you about to say?
About what? About voyeurism? Well, today I was on top of a day today that was going down the tubes. It was a wasted day, and I took to looking out my window again, and across the street there were two roommates.
Roommates sunbathing, okay.
Girls, I would say they're NYU students. And
where do you live? Are you in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Okay, so are they on a rooftop?
No, they're on a balcony. It's an apartment building with balconies.
Oh, okay. So how old are these girls, would you say?
They have to be sophomores, because all sophomores flirt with lesbianism.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the collegiate
Do you
way.
Do you know this for a fact, or have you done a study or something?
I've been in enough colleges, I guess, in my life to know this.
Is this
something that happens with sophomore women?
Is that NYU sophomores or just sophomores?
No, I didn't go there.
Oh, okay.
New York Magazine says lesbianism is chic now.
It's chic? Well, there's a movie coming out.
There's a third person?
There's a movie out now about Kelly Lynch plays a lesbian who...
Yeah.
Is trying to convince her bisexual lover to go her way. So she hires this guy, played by one of the Baldwin brothers, to sort of convince the character played by Sherilyn Fenn how horrible men are. But of course, can you see this one coming? Can you see what happens?
I'm waiting for the real
Do you know what happens in the plot?
Yeah.
Can you understand what happens?
Yeah.
Can you predict what happens? The Sherilyn Fenn character falls in love with the Baldwin guy.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Okay. So, and I guess it ends with like a menage a trois and everybody happy.
Right.
But I wouldn't know that. So
I'm waiting for Boxing Helena or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that one too.
Chris, I'm confused. Where's the third voice coming from?
From your head, inside your head. There is no third voice. So you were saying now that these girls are on the balcony.
Yes, I was watching them, and there's one on the balcony, and I guess she decided that she would show her breast to the other girl.
Oh, really?
And then so she did, and then. The other girl then, you know, she had a string bikini with the two triangular patches over each breast.
Do you think that they know that they're being watched? Are they exhibitionists
No, because, you see, I'm
You're crafty.
I'm crafty, and I put something in front of the window so they can't tell that I'm there.
But, I mean, are you the only building across from there?
There's a row of, you know, it's New York. There's buildings all over the
place. Oh, so they know they're being watched? I mean, come on. This adds to their excitement.
Okay. For you, this adds something. I like the idea that they don't know they're being watched, but then again, everyone has their own thing.
Now, wait a minute. Do you have a video camera?
I do.
Okay. Did it come into play at any point?
Well, it often comes into play, but not on this particular occasion.
Okay.
Sounds like a life-affirming situation.
Are you planning on keeping it handy? Now?
Perhaps. I don't think so, because it doesn't. The telephoto isn't that good.
Oh, okay. So these
but
girls.
But it's funny you should say life affirming situation, yeah, third voice, because I called about life affirming situations,
right,
a long time ago. And you
now,
remember?
Yes, I do. Now let me ask you this: were they far away? Were you able to see them clearly?
They're directly across the street.
Oh,
the
okay.
Same level. So.
So you had a clear view of all of this.
But I have to tell you about the string bikini. It's the whole point of the story, and
all
I
right.
can't get to it.
All right. I'll be quiet.
Okay. Well, you know how the string bikinis work? There's strings in a triangulated fashion about the neck and tight around the back. And then there's two triangle-shaped pieces of cloth. You know how these work, right?
Yes, I do.
All
okay.
those
Okay. So then when one showed her breast to the other, then the other slipped the triangulated thing into the center. And this is when I don't know how to describe this on the radio. It was sublime. I heard angels singing.
Now, run this past me again, because I'm not getting what happened here exactly. The one took off her top, and what did she do?
Well, they started discussing things about their breasts with each other, but I couldn't hear it, but I could tell by what they were touching and pointing at.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, and then what happened? And then one took her top and folded it within the others or something?
No, she took the triangulated shapes and put them between her cleavage.
Oh, I see.
The triangulated shapes. That's,
okay,
that's
she took the pieces of the bikini.
Yes.
And
slid them into the center.
Okay, and what
so
was
the breasts were hanging down on either side of the bunched up triangulated shapes in her cleavage.
Okay, and what was the point of all this, do you think? I mean,
they were
there
discussing breasts.
Oh,
life
okay.
affirmant. Life right. affirmant.
And what's the point? You needed to know what to do with your life to perk up a bit.
Okay. All right. So you're telling me that
perk up.
You're telling
it's
me
that's my car waiting. I'm not going to get it though.
Okay. Now you're telling me that this voyeurism, as you described it, has made you feel better about life, and maybe it'd make me feel better about life. Is that what
it
you're
makes,
trying to tell
you know,
me?
You know what it does for me? It saves the day, because so many of my days are wasted. It just pulls it out of it.
Now, why were you looking out the window anyway? Were you just sitting in front of the window looking out the window?
No, actually, I don't know. I guess I know that when a day's going poorly, I always have that option to partake.
Okay.
Did you catch that show that The Bean did on voyeurism a couple of years ago, or three or 4 years ago?
Oh yeah. I remember.
It was a great show.
I remember
professional
every word of it. What are you
professional
talking
voyeur.
About?
He had a professional voyeur on. The guy has tons of camera equipment. He's written a couple of books on it. It was quite an interesting.
Yeah. There's something very disturbing about it. But I mean, there's a big difference between. There's a big difference between being a professional voyeur, somebody who waits and watches and records,
and
a guy who's walking past the window.
Well, a guy who's not having success in his, say, art studio that day.
Yeah.
And then peers out the window for
and sees these two girls comparing notes on their breasts. I mean, that's totally different.
And the idea is that I hope the conversation would kind of wend its way into would be that we could discuss sophomoric lesbian sex.
Well, we can. Because, well, you know, you're still the only two guys on the phone.
I think the real change in direction would be to be something that truly would be life-affirming or life-changing or moving forward would be to absolutely just get out of the house and approach these two women and share something of yourself with them. That would be a real daring thing and a change. And
now, let me ask you something, caller. Did it ever cross your mind that these women knew you were watching and wanted you to see so that you might approach them?
No,
I mean, was this their way of luring you in?
I don't know. I think, you know, this may come back from the way you're brought up. I mean, coming up as from a Catholic background, I don't want them to know.
Okay, but I mean, what if you played this little game with yourself? What if you said to yourself, okay, they know I'm here. They must know that I'm here. And so rather than hide behind my curtain,
right,
I will open the curtain and let them see me, and let them know that I see them.
Right.
Okay?
You'll be amazed how freeing that is.
Oh, yes. It's incredibly freeing. And then, see, the thing to do would be to strike up a conversation somehow.
Uh-huh. Like in the Korean grocery around the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
And then probably what will happen is
I'd be considered a stalker and a psycho.
Oh, wow, that ties right in with Tarkovsky. That's one of his greatest films, Stalker.
Really?
1979. Brilliant. About 3.5
Let me
hours
give out the phone over here again and ask, first of all, the number is 201 678-7743. It's 6:30 on WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange, and we're talking about life affirmation, voyeurism, and breasts, apparently in that order. And what
and,
I would
and,
like
and
is...
And don't
is
forget ontology.
Ontology, yes. Yeah. On top of all that, ontology. And what I would like is if there are any women listening now who would like to call and explain the psychology behind sitting on a terrace... sunbathing and removing your top.
Actually, that would be interesting.
I would really like to know if anybody, if any women know why that would happen or why you would do that. I mean, is there a specific reason?
All right, I'm gonna sign off because I'm running up a bill. I'm calling long distance.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you,
Chris. Do you think that perhaps you have more male listeners than female listeners?
Oh, I'm sure, absolutely. You know, and there's really. You know, there's a very clear explanation for that because there's more male listeners of this radio station, period. So the percentage is going to be higher. Anyway, so back to your little story here. At any point did you decide that maybe you would like some self-gratification?
No.
No. How long did this beatific moment last? How long did this moment last?
From first top off to second, and then they both walked away. It was about, I don't know, 3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't very long.
Yeah.
I have seen, there's certainly been better voyeuristic occasions in my life, but...
But
again,
this is the most recent.
Yeah.
Right.
This is today.
Today.
I'm not talking about yesterday, the day before, or anything like that.
Now, what else did I want to ask about this incident? Did it change your life?
No, it saved my day.
It
did. I know that you need to change your life, so I'm not being very helpful.
I don't know if it's changed my life so much. I mean, I may be going overboard on the change my life bit.
Right.
I guess what I need to know is that I'm doing everything I possibly can, and probably I'm not.
You know what sometimes I do that helps me out, maybe a more therapeutic thing, is sing Richard Harris songs. You know Richard Harris?
Yeah, but I only know, like, MacArthur Park, so...
Right, right. Well, there's another one called The Requiem, which you may find interesting, My Boy album.
Then again, I may not.
No,
but, what I've been thinking about lately and what has me worried, I'll tell you what has me worried and what's led to this whole thing, is Conan O'Brien. You know, Conan O'Brien is 29 years old, and he was given the slot vacated by David Letterman. Now,
right, I saw that.
Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but what was really interesting was the way the press responded to him. And especially this one guy writing in Daily News. I forget the author's name, the name of the columnist, but he wrote about Conan O'Brien and basically said that he was like a lot like the rest of his generation, what he called Generation X, in that he has no discernible personality and doesn't seem to really care about anything. And I was wondering... how he figured all of this out based on, you know, a couple of press conferences that this guy has given. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think that Conan O'Brien is his name?
Conan O'Brien, yeah.
You don't think he's been given a fair shot?
Well, I don't. I think it's treacherous to lump everybody in one generation in together and say they are this, they are that.
I mean, the whole Generation X thing is just kind of like trying to tie in a bunch of people who really have nothing in common. They just happen to be born between this 12-year period or something, and it's
yeah.
Not,
but by even saying that, you're saying they have something in common. If you make a statement, here's a bunch of people who have nothing in common.
12-year period. But you know what's more interesting? On a comparison of Conan O'Brien and David Letterman, if you want to remember David Letterman, when he was first hosting the show, what was it, 12 years ago, when he was just sitting in for Johnny Carson, they were incredibly interesting shows. They were fantastic. But then, and you just, like, wanted to see more of this guy, but then you get Conan O'Brien on, and you realize, like, man, he's worse than Jay Leno. I can't believe it. I mean...
Who, Conan O'Brien? I don't know the first thing about him, nor do I care. I'm only bringing him up
you
to...
You want
to
talk about Generation X.
I'm only bringing him up to make a point, which is that our whole generation was described as being without personality, really, or a definable personality, and being a bunch of people who don't really care about anything.
Do you care about anything?
Sure, I care. I care passionately, deeply about things.
But you're not a strong...
I care about the story of these two gals on the terrace, don't I?
You care about what?
I care about the story of the two gals on the terrace.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's just it.
Uh-huh.
We have to coin a new phrase for maybe, perhaps, our generation.
How about, well, if we, let's come up with some replacement for Generation X. That would be my task for the next 25 minutes of this program, and you're certainly welcome to help by calling 201-678-7743. And I, you know, do you have, if you were going to be described as being from a particular generation, okay, now what did they call the 60s generation? They called them what? The love, whatever. The love generation. What did they call those crazy hippie people? They called them, you know.
Yeah, I guess. And they're all baby boomers, whatever they want to call themselves something within that. I guess they're just boomers, right?
Oh, right, yeah, baby boomers. And what were they? What did they call a generation before that? They called them what?
Ooh, people who fought in the Korean War. I don't know.
All right, so are we called slackers? What are we called?
Well, some of us are slackers. Some of us aren't.
Yeah.
But hey. I don't know. Some of us have jobs.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim. Here.
Jim Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, on our phone lines.
Yeah, well, I got a tag for the generation. Hello?
Jim, before you say anything, though, we have to do this. You know, it's a tradition.
Theme music.
On our phone lines now, ladies and gentlemen, cartoonist Jim Ryan. And you were saying, Jim.
Yeah, my tag for the generation.
Yes.
Did you read that book, The Brady Bunch, written by Greg Brady?
Not me.
No, you haven't read that book?
No.
It's a pretty wonderful book.
Really?
I enjoyed it. Of course, it's stupid as hell, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that sort of sums up our generation. Stupid as hell, but enjoyable. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Jim. You know, I have a problem with all that 70s stuff, and that I didn't like it when it was around.
No, you didn't.
And I hardly like it now. And I hardly...
How about, like, Journey or a band like that?
I find nothing amusing about them or particularly... what's the word I'm looking for here? You know when something really awful comes back 10 or 15 years later and people think that it's really cool?
Like
because it was so awful?
Myself,
yeah, now, what is that called? That's called... There's a word for that. You know what I mean?
Yes, and
campy. It's like campy stuff. I hate campy. I hate whimsical things. Like if someone ever were to send me a teddy bear, I'd probably set it on fire and film it burning.
But I guess
and I hate campy things.
It's somewhat sentimental, though. I mean, it's not one-dimensionally campy. For us, it's sentimental.
But what are you sentimentalizing? You're sentimentalizing a bunch of things that were garbage to begin with. It wasn't
You have emotional ties to them. Like perhaps when you were listening to All by Myself as a 12-year-old, it might have happened to have been the occasion when you first had a wet dream or your heart broken for the first time or something.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so this song will forever stay with you.
I see what you're saying. You're saying that these are cultural linchpins for us.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so for that reason...
They are really us. And it is such trash that we grew up with in the 70s. This is why perhaps so many critics outside of our generation are lambasting us with these things that you were griping about that Conor O'Brien, whatever his name is, was...
Conan O'Brien?
Conan was hit up with.
Yes, I see. I see now. I see what you're saying now. The problem I'm having, though, is, you know, you get to a certain age, like the age that I'm at now.
Which is?
30.
Ah, me too. 62, and, you're born in 1962, presumably.
Yes.
Right.
And it's an age where, oh... You start to look back, let's say, and you catch yourself looking back, and you go, wait a minute, I don't want to look back, I want to look forward. I hate looking back. I'm not a backwards-looking person. And do you remember how that show, St. Elsewhere, although it was a really good show...
Never watched it.
It was a good show, but it became a festival of reminiscence. So that every time you tuned in, one of the characters was going... I remember one time my mother gave me this red bike, and I left it out in the rain, and it got really rusted. And then my dad came along, and he said, don't worry, son, we could put some navel jelly on there and unrust it. And it was like one story after another, one person going, I remember when I was 12. And I thought, I hate that. I hate people doing that.
Well, you know, the trick is not to look only backward and not to look only forward, but to look backward and forward. And within the moment itself.
And both ways before you cross the street.
Well.
Exactly. Now that is the secret of living. I think you have your finger on the pulse of some disgusting sea mammal. And I think that you're onto something, pal. If I may call you, pal. What was that, son?
What? I said thank you.
Oh, okay. We got a phone call here. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi. Yes?
Oh,
was that, was that it? Was it just hi?
No. I think that basically... The whole thing with nostalgia and, you know, calling generations certain names is that... we don't do it. The generation itself doesn't do it. What the generation does is eventually make money, and then advertising agencies do it to try to collect on your nostalgia.
Yeah, it is a marketing thing because it's more or less the, so they can fit you into a demographic group.
Yeah,
because
I remember when I was, I'm about, you're about 33, and I remember reading stuff in the New York Times when I was a kid about Woodstock.
See, there you go again. I remember. This is like St. Elsewhere all over again.
No, no, no. But the point is that what they did, they trashed it. I mean, they were like, oh, all these kids running around in the mud, what the world coming to. If you read, like, they would have rock reviews in the Times, like in the Sunday Times, and every single one trashed it as, like, barely music. So what's the point in reviewing it, you know? But then suddenly, in the 80s, it became, you know, this wonderful thing where all these people got together in love and harmony, and it's because they make money now.
Yeah.
The only difference.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Sure.
We got another call here. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, is this Chris T?
Yes.
Hi, Chris T. I'm growing tomatoes for you.
Why did you make that noise?
You know, Chris, I was thinking.
That was Martha, by the way.
What?
That was Martha.
Martha?
Yes, Martha. Martha, he calls all the time. You were thinking about what?
I was thinking about Douglas Copeland, the guy who wrote that book, Generation X.
Yes,
and
now...
I think I'm sort of angry at him, in a way, because I didn't like the book.
Uh-huh.
Except for I liked the last scene in which he gets hugged by a bunch of mentally retarded people. I thought that was very nice. But, you know, he's always referring to... shopping malls as being this big part of our life and all these things. And I don't agree with it. I mean, I didn't feel it was me. And yet this is this Generation X thing is supposed to be what we are, and I just don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think he's getting way too much press, and, you know.
I don't think it's his fault. I think it is the fault of demographers, for lack of a better word. The people who are in the demographics business who need to be able to say, well, Generation X really goes crazy over this product. You know, it's just, to them, it's a catchphrase. I don't worry so much about that. I don't care what we're titled. I mean, I think the Brady Boomers would be just as good. What worries me more is that we're now at the point where we begin looking backward. And that worries me more specifically about myself, not about the generation. Because... you know, one of the characteristics of Generation Xers, as they say in those newspaper articles, is I don't really care about other members of the generation. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's not true either. It's all so confusing that I would much rather go lie down.
Well, you know, it's a question is for people in their 40s, and we're too young to even be asking it. It's a premature question for us, I believe.
Okay.
It hasn't matured our generation. It hasn't done everything.
Hello. Welcome to the air. Hello.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the other guy to shut up. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta turn off my radio. Hold it.
He has to turn off his radio.
Okay, now here I am. I think this Generation X thing is more of a class of people than it is a generation.
How do you mean class?
It's like the people who grew up with MTV. I didn't grow up with MTV. I'm 33.
Yeah.
I don't see myself as growing up with MTV. I mean, I was already in college when it came on. And you're just a little younger, and do you really feel like you grew up with it?
No.
No. But no. I think that when they talk about Generation X, they really mean people who are in their 20s now.
No, they don't. They mean people who are in their 20s to 30s.
It's just a broad thing. I don't think they're really serious about it. Like you said, it's just a demographic.
I think you're embittered that you're not a Generation X person and that you're the last year of the baby boom people.
Yeah, but I mean, I listen to Chris and I listen to most of the people on FMU, and they don't strike me as anything like these Generation X types.
Okay, how do we strike you, and what is a Generation X type? I mean,
well, they're definitely more materialistic.
Uh huh.
And they're caught up in you know, that whole TV flash thing, and they're the ones who run out and buy bike pants and wear them, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, those are Generation Xers?
Want to be like Ugly Kid Joe, you know, or Kid Ugly Joe, what is his
name?
I don't
own a pair of bike pants.
No, see, I think maybe you're thinking of yuppies, because...
No, I think he's thinking of bike messengers.
Oh, okay, well, that could
yeah,
be...
Yeah, well, I mean, I live here in Jersey, and I see that all over the place. I see the kids, like, they went suddenly grunge. You know, those are the Generation X kids.
Well, I'm sorry, you're both talking at the same time.
This grunge thing, that's very Generation.
What about the grunge thing? See, now, the grunge thing is dead and buried, okay? Because they had a cartoon... Charles Schulz did a Peanuts
with
Joe Grunge, okay? They have a layout in Vanity Fair this month with all these people, including Liz Smith, interpreting the grunge look. Okay?
Yeah, well, all the fashion magazines are full of it, too.
Yeah, and I just find it really funny. I think it's hilarious.
Well,
actually,
they're digesting things, you know, very rapidly
it's
now.
It's actually a non-topic, the grunge thing.
It is a non-topic, and, you know, the whole Northwest thing is a non-topic, because from what I hear, Seattle, although it's a nice city, and it's nice to look at, the people, you know, are really kind of, you know, they don't really relate to you the way people, you know, and this is coming to me directly from somebody from the East Coast who moved to Seattle and has lived there for several years now. The way they talk about Seattle, it seems like it's a nice place to live, a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there is basically it. And the reasons being because people aren't really as friendly and outgoing as they are here. You know what I mean?
It's hard to believe.
What do you mean it's hard to believe? Why is that hard to believe?
New Yorkers are supposedly friendlier people than anyone out west?
Yes.
That's hard to believe to me.
Why is that hard to believe?
I agree. It's not in my experience, I suppose.
What do you mean?
I have not experienced people on the East Coast, particularly in the New York metropolitan area.
Oh, see now, that's where you're wrong. See now, because Seattle, although they're polite, and they may have manners and stuff like that, they don't really want to know you. They don't really want to. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, I think of Seattle. I think of the Frugal Gourmet, and I think, you know, there's a happy place.
There's a happy place. Yes.
Cooking.
Well,
that's image.
I don't want to turn this into an intercontinental or a bi-coastal, you know, argument. I'm not looking to do that. I'm talking about what I've heard of Seattle and my impressions of Seattle based on some people I know from there and people I know who live there. It you know, hopefully it'll all blow over shortly is what I'm trying to say, I guess. Right?
Hopefully. I guess it didn't bother me either way. I mean...
Hey, the phone just rang and then the person hung up. I hate when that happens.
Are you still interested in getting advice on what to do with your life?
Not really. Why?
Well, I just had two things to say.
What's that?
Write a book and lose weight.
Okay.
Those work.
Thanks.
Okay.
There's some life advice for you.
Am I supposed to get off the air now, Chris?
You can if you'd like. Leave me all by myself. I don't care. All by myself. Don't wanna be. I remember when I was 12 years old. And it was those difficult years between elementary school and junior high school. And one night my dog died, and that song was on the radio. All by myself.
Then perhaps it should be the All by Myself generation.
Yes.
Or the Eric Carmen generation.
Yes. Or the aloners, we could call ourselves. How's that?
Or people who are
the big loner babies.
People who are desperately trying to be
ourselves, why don't we just call ourselves the big baby boomers? How's that? Because we're big babies. Is that better?
I don't know if that's better or not.
Yeah, neither do I. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
That was quite a phone call, eh? Less than almost the entire length of the program. Nothing like a program-length phone call. The phone number here is 201-678-7743. There's 10 minutes left in this program. And welcome to the air.
Yeah. How about the bland generation?
Why is it bland? Why do you think it's bland?
It's bland because it's a follow and follow again and follow some more generation.
Oh, you don't think there's any trailblazers or groundbreakers?
Oh, there's been a few.
Or trailbreakers or groundblazers?
Or blazing trails? No, it's just, you know, it's been a very bland generation. think the generation that's coming up, the 15 to 20-year-olds, are going to be the next evolution.
How do you mean? How do you mean?
Well, they're just more aware. They're tapping older resources. The generation you're talking about didn't really tap any resources. They sort of just abandoned the past and tried to be a future with no guidance. And they just wallowed and they blundered and they materialized all these fantasies and they tried to jam through college in 2.5 years so they could start faster on their careers. You know, they didn't do the 4 years. They didn't take college as a learning experience. They took it just to learn how to be part of the next big thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, it turned against them.
Uh-huh. And I think, well,
I mean,
you
want to
talk
about the grunge thing or whatever, sure, that's blown out of proportion. That's the media's fault. That's not the artist's fault. That's not the people.
No, I never blame no artists. I don't blame no artists.
I don't blame
artists
no artists.
Artists are blameless as far as I'm concerned. I mean, and this isn't a discussion of the media or nothing like that, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, I understand. I like your explanation. It's got some valid points and things. But why do people feel the need to, like, to generalize that way? Why do they feel the need to say, we're the generation that didn't do this? We're the generation that did do that? We're the generation
that's part of my point.
What?
Everybody has to have a general concept. The people have to have some kind of mass attention span. There's no... The individual doesn't stand up much anymore and say, no, check this out. I mean, people don't take... People come to a fork. You got six people in a pickup truck or something, and they come to a fork in the road. They all decide on one fork. They don't get out and split. They don't say, well, no, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to go this way, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, people all seem to take the same trail unanimously. I mean, it's almost, even though it's a good concept, you know, I mean, in politics, in certain areas, you need a unanimous concept.
You're saying everyone's too afraid to experiment. Is that what you're saying? To try.
Well,
to
I think people didn't experiment.
Reach. Is that it? They don't want to reach?
Well, no, I'm being general, actually, yeah. But, you know, I'm talking in general terms about a concept that I think evolves from a general, basic, ho-hum concept.
Yeah, I dig where you're coming from, man.
Do you, or are you just being sarcastic?
No, I never am sarcastic.
Oh, that's not true.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And this is for my mother. It is Mother's Day Sunday, and I didn't get my gift in the mail on time. Mom, this is for you.
When I came to you there on that cold telephone pole, horror of the night, and you came out to meet me in that filmy thing and sat down on the porch swing. And I knew the moon would mount before I held you to my breast like that again. Why could I not die then, warm behind the curtains of your hair? On that cold rock and mixed our hot young blood with granite dust.
Okay, well, that's enough, Mom. That's for you, Mom. Richard Harris performing, yes, Wreck This. Hey, pal, Wreck This. This is Aerial View on WFMU. Uppsala College, East Orange. The phone number here is 201-678-7743. There's 6 minutes left in this program. Welcome to the air.
Chris, listen, this is Mike from Hoboken. This is what you got to do. Sometimes you got to just say, what the F? You got to get laid. You got to get drunk. And then the next morning you wake up with a clear mind.
Hey, you forgot to smoke a little weed.
That would help.
Hey, man.
Hey, Chris.
Yes?
You gotta take a mental enema.
I hate that expression.
That's
like the third time I've heard that in my life, and I hate it.
Well,
I really hate the imagery of that. Now, what the hell does that mean?
Well, it's the same thing as a regular enema. You're clearing all the crap out of your head.
And how do you do this?
Well,
do you go to the drugstore and ask for this? What do you do?
Chris, this is
FLIR?
Not physical. It's not physical. It's mental enema. Get it? Mental.
Yeah, I get it. How do you do it, pal?
I can't show you, Chris. It's in your mind.
Thanks, friend. I appreciate that. Hang on a minute. Hello, welcome
to the air.
An idiot.
Mike?
I'm not an idiot. I'm Irish.
Well, isn't that what I just said?
Hey, what do you call people from Bayonne, anyway? Are they Bayonets?
Bayonets.
I don't know what you call them.
There you go, Chris. Getting better.
Are they Bayoners? What are they? Are they Bayonesh? I don't know.
What brought this up?
What brought what up?
What's with you?
Who are you talking to?
You, Chris. We were brought up this Bayonne thing.
Well,
suddenly.
I was in Bayonne the other day. That's why. I was there. I was there in Bayonne.
Yeah.
I was down on 8th Street and Avenue C and wandering around that area.
You know what I'm amazed at? That there aren't so many idiots. Well, I haven't heard any prank calls, actually.
Oh, well, you had to go say that, right?
No, I know. There's 1 minute left. I thought it was safe. But, I mean, usually when there's a wandering topic, you get the idiots. But you know what it might be? It might be just that one or two that keep calling over and over because they're just the type to do it.
Oh, I know who it is that calls.
Really?
I mean, I told you long ago, people,
that
we have a caller ID unit here.
Right.
And I have the phone numbers of those people.
You,
and, you know, they were called and they were warned not to call again.
Did you tell the new Biles not to call anymore? Because they haven't heard.
No. I think probably they've just found better ways to spend
the
their time, like
the
sitting on terraces exchanging tops or something. It could well be, yeah. So I'm sorry, but I don't really miss them. I mean, do you?
No.
Okay.
No, I was just wondering. I thought maybe you told them a thing or two.
No, nothing of the sort.
I'm just curious.
People's minds do run away.
Did you listen to that tape I gave you?
Oh, was that you that sent the tape?
Well, what do you mean, was that me? Who? You don't know who I am anyway.
Oh, you said you sent... Yes,
it was me.
Okay, thanks.
Did you listen to it?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's been a really busy couple of weeks.
That's all right. You know.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay.
He sent me a tape, all right. Boy, did he send me a tape. Okay, it's 6:57 on WFMU Uppsala College, East Orange. And the phone number here is 201-678-7743. It is Mother's Day on Sunday. And, boy, does that bring up many, many feelings in you, huh? Bet you feel a little guilty? You know, I feel a lot guilty. How about I be guilty for all of us? Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, how you doing? I got a little problem, maybe you can help me out with it. Well, I don't know how much of a problem it is. Have you ever, like, flirted, like, with a woman on the phone, like, extensively, and, like, you're, like, just a little bit afraid to get together because, you know, while she sounds like she might be, you know...
Yeah, I've had this experience. I've had exactly this experience.
Tell me, what happened to you?
How long have you been flirting on the phone with
like,
this person?
Like, well over a week.
Well over a week. And how did it come about that you were flirting on the phone?
We work in the same company in different offices in different...
different places?
Yeah.
Okay, so you would actually have to meet somewhere, right?
Yeah, I think she'll be coming to New York at some point.
Where is she now?
Massachusetts.
Wow, so it's too far away for you to go there, I was going to say.
Yeah, hold on.
You can go there and scope her out.
Today she jokingly suggested, why don't, you know, it's too bad I'm not coming.
Well, is she... How does she strike you over the phone? Is she funny? I mean, is she...
Yeah, she is funny.
She nice?
She is funny. She is nice.
So why not...
There's nothing wrong. I mean, I'm just, you know...
What are you afraid of? What's this fear?
I don't know. Maybe she's got three eyes or something.
Well...
Or like that third arm or something.
You know, people who are sensitive...
Yeah.
And people who are especially sensitive to the feelings of others don't come out and ask that question, what do you look like?
Oh, I didn't. I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's a hard question to ask and a harder one to answer.
No.
But my suggestion would be this. Meet her
for some
coffee or a drink, you know.
Yeah.
And don't tell her what you'll be wearing and find out what she'll be wearing. And then when you get there, you can see it's her, and if she's really horrible, you can leave!
Duck out.
Leave! Run away!
I've actually thought of that before, but that's excellent. You know.
Hey, that's the way to handle that situation. I gotta go now. Fabio's here. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Goodbye! Okay, that's the end of another Aerial View program. We'll be back next week at this time with more great advice. Thanks for listening, and especially thank you for calling, if you were a caller.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always.